Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my fine wife, Beth.
On this wonderful Wednesday, October 11th, and we have a do not fear scripture. I mean, do not fear. This is a great year to say do not fear. We need to grow in his grace. Mark 6:50, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, hey, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.
I love it.
There might be things swirling around you, but you know what the Lord Jesus says to you? Take courage, it is I. I'm here. I never leave you or forsake you. Don't be afraid.
I love it. I do. Mm. And in my mind now, I can see
yes,
that scene of him walking on the water.
Yeah, and the chosen. It's very good.
It is.
Tune it in. It will bless you beyond measure. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Today,
we're going to talk about how much of God do you want?
Oh, boy. All of it and all of it.
We have a question for the men on this call and then for the women. Men, have you dated a woman or perhaps married to a woman who's only interested in your money and what you could do for her? She wants what she wants when she wants it. Have you ever felt that the woman in your life only wants the provision and protection you provide without giving the affection and intimacy that you so desire? Has your marriage relationship or the lack thereof gotten to the point where she is interested only in things other than you, only focusing on you when there's a need to be met? And women, you ever dated or perhaps you're married to a man who only wants to be seen with you because of your beauty and sexual appeal rather than what's in your head or your heart? You ever felt like the man in your life focuses more on his job, golf games, sporting events on TV, his buddies, female co-workers, than he does you in meeting your needs? Does it seem the only time he wants to talk about what's important to you is when he's waiting to say, well, he's wanting you to satisfy his needs? Men and women, if you answered yes to any of these questions, then you can understand how God feels. Do we only want to spend time with God when we have a need, financial, physical, or otherwise? Do we only desire his presence when we're broke, needing money for a payment, or some other sort of financial crisis? Do we only need to spend time with him when we've been given a bad report by the doctor for ourselves, someone that we love? Do we only desire intimacy with him when facing adversity, uncertainty, or seemingly tragedy in your life? Can you imagine how God feels? We need to ask ourselves what our relationship is with God. Does it parallel that with the children of Israel? Exodus 20, verses 18 and 19. 2018 and 19, Classic Amplified. Not all the people perceived the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the smoking mountain. And as they looked, they trembled with fear and fell back and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we'll listen, but let not God speak to us lest we die. Hallelujah.
You know, as we were reading this passage, we felt, well, kind of a lack of compassion for the children of Israel, because it was clear they didn't really want to have a relationship with God, but only what he could give them. And he'd showed them so much that may have feared, they may have feared him, but not in what we would call maybe the reverential way. Perhaps our relationship is like some of the politicians whose most prevalent thought is, what have you done for me lately? Or how can you help me out? When the children of Israel asked Moses to speak to them, they clearly showed that they had no interest in direct contact with God. Instead, they wanted just somebody to stand in the middle, be a mediator. They were willing to put someone else between them and God, which God clearly illustrates their lack of desire for any intimacy with him himself. Children of Israel wanted what God could do for them, but you know, they didn't have to get too close to him. Yet when things weren't going their way, they wanted they demanded, you know, hey, come do something for me. When they complained that they were thirsty, God gave them water. When they complained they were hungry, God literally rained down bread from heaven. Then they murmured because they didn't have any meat. And then God caused quail to fall out of the sky. When they were afraid of their enemies, God gave them victory. At every turn, he proved himself to the children of Israel. Every time they made a demand, he provided and met their needs. What we have to ask ourselves in this day and age is, are we like the children of Israel? Do we want God's prosperity without being in his presence? There's nothing wrong with asking God to meet our needs. He wants to. But in fact, Matthew 6:33, this in the New Century Version, gives us a divine sequence for provision and prosperity. It says, seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all your other needs will be met as well. No question, God is concerned about the needs in our lives. In fact, God tells us in the Word to ask him for our daily bread. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. The scripture is very clear about God's desire to meet our needs. But there are two questions which come to mind and really need to be asked and answered.
That's absolutely right. First, how much of God do you want? And second, why do you want him? Way too many believers treat our Heavenly Father as an I God. If you own and are familiar with iPhones, iPads, iPods, any other smartphone or computer that has touchscreen technology, then you understand this frame of reference. On the modern electronic gizmos, when you own something, you lightly touch the screen and you got it. Way too many Christians treat God the same way, as an I God, only touching him with an I God kind of experience. I Googled I God and was disappointed to find that most of the references were ungodly and dealing with artificial intelligence. I felt encouraged when I saw a blog entitled I God, but the primary thrust of the article was about the writer's love of jazz, and on the side he expressed the love for Jesus too. The writer mentioned hearing Ella Fitzgerald sing All of Me at the Monterey Jazz Festival, and that kindled his interest in jazz. When I read All of Me, I thought, he's going to discuss giving all of ourselves to God, but he didn't. However, I felt prompted to share the only part of that song that comes to my mind. It says, all of me, why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm no good without you? Earlier we asked, how much of God do you want? The real question is, how much of you does God want? The answer, very simple.
All of you.
All of you. And yes, he wants to bless you, to meet your every need. But he wants you to desire more than anything else to be in his presence.
You know, one more thing. Not only does God want all of us, but there comes a day of reckoning. In Amos 3, verse 1, New Living Translation, it says, listen to me, Israel. God is calling you to account, and I mean all of you, everyone connected with the family that he delivered out of Egypt. Listen. You know, if God had delivered us, and he has delivered us, out of economic Egypt, the land of not enough, then your greatest desire should be to make him more than an I God. Only there do we really touch. Let me put it this way. Only there for you to touch when you have a need or a problem? No, 1 Corinthians 14:4, New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, I want all of you to develop intimacies with God in prayer. But please don't stop with that. Go on and proclaim his clear truth to others. It's more important than everyone have access to the knowledge and love of God. And like we said, he wants more than just a light touch. He wants all of us, all of us. God wants you and me and my sweet husband, Harold, for who, you know, we are. And that's what he wants as well. You know, we need to love him for who he is and not just for what he can do for us. I love the way it says in the Ephesians, it says, this is in the Classic Amplified, it says, the Holy Spirit indwells our innermost being and personality.
Amen.
So,
hallelujah. You know,
God wants, disciples mean you are following him and giving your whole, you leave everything and you take up your cross and follow him.
Hallelujah, baby. Mm. That's good.
Being led by the Holy Spirit.
How much of God do you want?
How much does he want of you?
That's exactly right. Those are the questions.
That's it.
Think about these today.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
We want you to have a terrific Tuesday.
It's a wonderful Wednesday.
That means you had a terrific Tuesday.
That's it. You are so funny. Anyway, and you've had your coffee too, so you can't complain this morning. But, you know,
you made the best coffee.
The thing about it is truly, you know, the closer and the more we get to know the Lord, the more enriching. Let me tell you this too. I just got to throw this in. The more enriching our lives will be. What happens is the devil wants you to think, oh, I have to give this up. Don't think about what you're giving up. Think about if your focus is on what you will gain by being able to gain the presence and the fullness of God, all those things will fall away and you will be the most blessed person on planet Earth.
You know, we read earlier in the call, Matthew 6:33,
yes,
in the New Century Version. And I really like that because it's the divine sequence for prosperity.
It is.
It says, seek first God's kingdom and what God wants.
Yes.
Then all your other needs will be met as well.
Mm.
What God wants.
Yeah. Hallelujah. It's not the giving up, it's the gaining.
And it's not about you.
Insurpassable.
It's not about you. That's right. That's good. It's not about you. It's about him.
Yeah.
And what he wants.
And truly, he will bless you beyond measure.
Absolutely.
Peace of mind and heart.
Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. Please keep Israel in prayer.
Yes.
And our country as well.
Hallelujah. We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.